The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello and welcome into the podcast that we like to call From the Podium, where you hear directly from your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm host and audio producer of the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, Steven Serta. Chiefs are back on the practice field on Wednesday. We heard from head coach Andy Reid, quarterback Patrick Mahomes, running back Darrell Williams, and defensive tackle Derek Nnadi. We'll get things going with Andy Reid, followed by Patrick Mahomes. Then we'll take a quick timeout. When we get back, we'll hear from Darrell Williams and Derek Nnadi. Here's Andy Reid.
As far as injuries go, Hitch won't practice today. He's got knee inflammation. Tarvarius Ward with a quad strain. Blake Bell, his back locked up on him there, tightened up on him, so he won't practice. Tyreek Hill has a quad contusion that happened during the game, and he played through it, but he had a little swelling in there, so we'll back off of him. And then Chris Jones with the wrist contusion, and then Joe Tooney with the broken hand. So it seems like a long list, but I think when it's all said and done, we'll be able to get guys back here in the next little bit, but which is a positive thing. So I'm sure I'm going to be asked by somebody about John Gruden's situation. I'm not going to get into that. I think all around it's a tough deal. So. But I'm going to just stay away from that. I just appreciate the courtesy likewise. So there's nothing going to be gained or by me with my remarks. So anyways, with that, time's yours.
Andy, what factors are important to you when considering a change in the depth chart in the middle of the season?
Yeah, so listen, we look at that. I mentioned this before, that we look at it every week. I mean, these guys are evaluated every day. And so we know the good, we know the bad, right? And so there's got to be a trust there that we're trying to do the right things. But I know there's always questions. So, but we do look at it thoroughly. I mean, that's the best I can tell you. And it's, there are a lot of things that go into that, but that's, and then we make a final decision on it.
Andy, when you look back Sunday, have you learned anything more or any different realizations about what was maybe not quite clicking in the passing game the way you're used to seeing it?
Yeah, so, well, I mean, I keep going back to the turnover part. You know, the turnovers are something that, you know, we've got to take care of. I mean, we're doing a phenomenal job per series of scoring, you know, one of the best in the history of the game, but you turn the ball over, you got a problem. You know, I mean, that's the reality of it. You can put all the yards together you want. You can put almost 90 plays together. You can do all that stuff, but we turn the ball over, it's an issue. So we've done that in really three games, two where we've had four, and then the one with the two. So those were the games we lost. I mean, it's that part becomes very obvious. All those games we had production. You know, there were a lot of good things, but those things, you know, we just got to put those to an end and get those taken care of. And everybody's got a piece of the pie. So we've got, and I'm taking the blame. I mean, I'm in charge of it, so I'm taking the blame. And we've got to make sure we fix that.
In general, when you see, I guess it was 33 completions, 21 incompletions, do you feel like it's an equal parts? Patrick a little off, people not being where they should be, defense changing reads?
It could be some of that, yeah. But he still had, enough completions to where we should, we should win the game without the, without the turnovers, I mean, we still had a chance there going into it.
And Joe Tooney, is he a candidate to go on IR?
Probably not right now, no. He just did the walkthrough with us, and so I think it's just, we give him a little time here for that thing settle down, and then I think we'll have a chance to be okay. Yeah.
Along those things, Coach, specific to Chris Jones, I know last week you wanted to give him a rest period. What's your concern level with him right now?
Well, where he feels comfortable, where he can play, I mean, that's literally it. So, when he feels that and that he can do his job, I mean, then he'll be back in. But he's getting better, though. So that's a plus.
Coach, I know you had a chance to possibly see Washington on film over the last few weeks. What do you see defensively that may give your give you hope that your offense can pick things up going into this next game?
Yeah. So, like I said, it was turnovers. The production's there. It's the turnovers that we got to take care of. I don't want to lose track of that. But I tell you, you got to take care of that front. That's where it starts. And they're a productive group, talented, play hard. So it's a great challenge for us.
Andy, how do you perceive the Klein's out? How do you perceive the running back situation shaking out with that?
Well, we've got 31-1. I mean, they're good players. So, and we can put Gore up too. He was productive during the preseason, so we have the possibility of doing that. But we have trust in the other two guys. They've particularly Darryl. I mean, he's been productive since for a number of years here. So, yeah.
Coach, I ask you about Willie Gay on Saturday. He made a post about his mental health being messed up. He played on Sunday. In your experience, what do you say to a guy that makes an
impact? Well, I'm proud of him for mentioning it. A lot of people don't mention it, which is, I think, a great tribute to the kid of bringing it forward. We've got Dr. T here, and he's, which we're glad we have. And so he's able to talk to him and address the problem. I mean, I think that's a beautiful thing. So many people keep this hidden, and then disastrous things happen. And I'm just glad he came forward with it.
Part of, I'm guessing, the calculus and determining before he could play is having a conversation with him about that?
Well, yeah, we stay in touch with him, but yeah, for sure. Make sure he's okay, We try not to let any of that stuff slide the best way we can, yeah.
Couple more. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah. Coach, you got Josh Gordon involved for 10% plays. How did he feel? How did he respond to that? Optimistic it can increase?
Yeah, he did good. I mean, if we hadn't gone into the hurry-up mode, he would have had more. I was thinking somewhere 20 plays, to get him in, and he got 9. But we also jumped into the hurry-up, late in the third quarter, so cut him off of some plays there. But, I like the progress he's making.
Last one, kid.
Coach, do you feel like there's been issues with how you guys are practicing in the week, or is it more so just execution out there on the field? Do you plan on switching things up at all during practice?
Yeah, so I think we need to get better in all spots. Yeah, I think, like I said, everybody's got a piece of this. So, we can do better with the practice. We can do better and have a carryover into play time.
I'm sorry, last one.
First 6 weeks of this season, I think it's almost like 50%. You faced Harbaugh, you faced McDermott, this week Rivera. How much pride do you take looking across that line of scrimmage and you see your former assistants?
Yeah, I'm proud of him. I don't like getting beat by him, but I'm proud of him. I mean, bothers me. But period. I mean, losing games, I'm not big on. But listen, they're good coaches. So, and Ron's the same way. Ron, they're well coached.
All right, thank you.
Looking at some things, how you go about doing business with regard to the turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? What are you reviewing? What changes for you if you're going to change that part of your game?
Yeah, I think first off, you have to look at the coverages that you're facing, seeing the coverages, being able to recognize those things. And then kind of once you do that, you can slow things down. Then you're able to go out there and make the right decision and not take those chances, especially at certain points in the game. And so just doing that and then going back to my reads and trying to be true to those and making sure my footwork's right in the pocket and I can just stay true to the reads.
Andy suggested the other day that maybe everybody on offense is sort of feeling pressure with what's going on in defense to maybe score every time you get the ball, which I know you always try to do, but there necessarily hasn't been that urgency before. Is there anything to that, do you feel? Do you feel like any more urgency than normal because of what's going on the defensive side of the ball?
Not at all. I mean, for us, like you said, I mean, we try to score every single time we touch the football. That's how it's been my entire career here. That's how it was. That was kind of the precedent that was set before I even started here. And that's kind of how I have my mindset going into every single game is that when we get an opportunity to go out there and have success and be successful, we have to capitalize that. And that has nothing to do with whatever is happening on the other side of the ball. It's just our job as an offense on this team.
Patrick, something else that you mentioned after the game was just the connection with receivers when maybe they have options after certain plays. Going back and watching the film these past few days, I mean, what's the process like to getting back on that same page on those plays?
Yeah, same thing. Just you watch with those guys. You kind of recognize his coverages with those guys. You get the feel for what they're thinking. I mean, not only was it times that they didn't do it, but there was times where I thought I was making the wrong read. And then me not throwing it in the right position, I mean, that kind of leads to bad things. And so that just going to go back to us working at our fundamentals, especially me kind of footwork in the pocket, staying true to my reads, kind of like I said earlier, and just being on the same page as those guys.
We know you're like a simple question, but is the biggest complication with that just making sure that you guys are reading the same defense?
Yeah, in a sense. I mean, we face different coverages than pretty much a lot of teams in the NFL, so you just got to be able to recognize those when you see them. And we've been able to face it for a couple weeks now where teams are kind of seeing what other teams are playing to us and doing some of the similar things. And so at the end of the day, it's all about execution. It's all about us being on the same page. It's about me making the throw at the right time in the right spot. And so that's something I'll keep getting better and better at and try to find ways to score more points.
Difficult at all to make sure that, like, Tyreek sees it's the same coverage that you see it is?
Or? Not necessarily. I mean, I think that's just relationships that we've built over time. I mean, I think that's what makes this offense go is that we know each other. We know what we're thinking. And we had one game, really, where we were a little off on that. And so that's something that we'll have to continue to get back on that same page and be who we are.
We know that you guys are very good at it. You like the big play. How much of a challenge has it become to try to play in that short to intermediate, maybe that 10 to 15 yard range?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we worked on at the end of last year. You started seeing defenses kind of play over the top and letting us kind of have the short gains. So that's something that we've tried to get better and better at. And we've had good weeks this year at it, and then we've had weeks like this last week where we didn't do so well at it. So it's about execution. It's about taking what's there. It's about running the football. It's about throwing the short completions. And then once defenses have to come up because we're showing that we can do that, we'll still be able to connect on those long plays.
I know in the offseason you talked about being more accurate. So with this offensive line, it seems as though you've gotten a little bit more time, and I know receivers haven't been able to get open. What challenges do you think going up against this front four, including Chase over in D.C., is going to fare for you all this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, their defensive line is talented. We know that. I think everybody in this league knows that. I mean, they have great players all the way across that D-line, and they have great players that come off the bench and play as well. And so it'll be a great challenge for our offensive line. Those guys have been playing well. They've been doing a great job. And so we'll do whatever we can to let me get the ball out of my hands fast, get it to some of the playmakers that I have around me, and let those guys make plays at the end of the day.
I know you really don't try to, you know, run the ball as much as you did. Of course, you led the team in rushing Sunday. Is that something that you just take in if the defense gives it to you, or?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of that. I mean, the defenses are playing us a lot of – they're playing some man coverages on some third downs, especially this last week with high safeties over the top, so we couldn't throw to Tyreek and stuff like that. And so whenever they kind of opened up and I was able to run, I just went ahead and took it. It's something that I'm sure I'll have to do more this year as teams really concentrate on trying to stop our receivers and guys catching the ball. And so if I have to do that, I'll do it. And then if hopefully I'll have more time where I can just throw to some of those fast guys and let them run down the field.
We're about to chat with Daryl. Obviously, Clyde's on injury reserve. What tells you that Daryl and then Jarek are ready to handle these duties in the back?
I think it's just that they've done it before. I mean, you've seen these guys. Daryl, he stepped up in big spots. his whole career here, filling in, running strong, running tough. And then if you watch Jerick McKinnon's career, I mean, he's been a guy that's made plays at a lot of different spots, and I've trusted he'll come in here and he'll make plays here as well.
You got Josh out of the field for 9 plays, and I know Coach said that you hoped to maybe get more and we've got that hurry up. What did you kind of see from Josh, and that one catch that he had? What did you kind of see on that play and learn from that?
Yeah, I mean, it just shows that he can make plays happen. I mean, that was kind of a broken play where I was scrambling out to the right, and he's such a big target, I could still see him. So I put it up there, having trust in him, and he went up and made a play. And I thought he did a lot of good things. I mean, he came up the ball hard. He ran fast, did stuff. Didn't have any missed assignments or anything like that. So just to continue to incorporate him into this offense, I think it'll help everybody a ton.
Patrick, with that, what do you think can be next for Josh? And are there certain things that you want to get to this week that can build on what he can do in this offense?
Yeah, I think as he gets more accustomed to our offense and how we run it and how we do things, I think you'll see him get utilized more and more over time. I mean, his skill set is something that not a lot of people have in this world. I mean, to be that big, that fast, that strong. So I think as you get more comfortable, you see this with receivers all the time, and they start really trusting what they're doing is the right thing in that offense, you'll see him make more and more plays.
Patrick, to Adam's point earlier, when you reevaluating yourself, is there much that you really have to change? I mean, you've been successful thus far in your career. Is there a lot that you have to change, or is there just like one certain thing?
Yeah, I think you just tinker with things here and there. I mean, you don't want to lose yourself. You don't want to lose the things that you've done so well, so long. But at the same time, I got to make sure that I'm firm with my fundamentals. I make sure that I stay within the pocket. And the same thing every year when you kind of see me get a little off, you got to go back to the basics and make sure I perfect those things. And then I think everything else will kind of come along with it.
I know the turnovers are such a focus that this is probably difficult to do, but if you take that out of the equation, do you feel like you guys are performing pretty well as an offense?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're moving the ball and moving the ball down the field at a high rate. I mean, we're doing stuff, we're executing, we're not having a lot of three and outs and stuff like that. So that's what you want to do as an offense. But, I mean, once you make turnovers, once you have turnovers happen, it kind of ruins everything. It takes that great offense that we can be and just really just knocks it down to a very average one. And so if we can really cut out those turnovers over this season, and we kind of have to now, I think we could be a really, really good offense and a great one, hopefully.
Well, you got Josh, 5 full games behind the new offensive line. How do you feel like that has all gelled together? How do you feel like the communication's going with the tackles and where you're at now as opposed to, you know, after week one?
Yeah, I think they're doing a great job. I mean, I think they're really communicating well. They're doing a lot of great things. Obviously, this last game, we kind of got out of running the ball as we kind of had a few turnovers here and there. So we got to keep incorporating that. I mean, they're so good at run blocking. They're so good at doing those things. I think if we do that with the guys that we have, it'll really even open up the pass game even more.
Thanks, Patrick.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a 2-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Just heard from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid and quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Now we'll hear from running back Darrell Williams as well as defensive tackle Derek Nnadi.
That would mean a lot to me.
you know, because I worked my whole life to be a starter in the league. And, you know, I finally get this chance. I finally get this opportunity. And I just got to make the most of it.
What would you say so far has been the biggest factor in helping you stick around this long, get a larger and larger role with this team, and now have this opportunity?
Just continue to be myself, be consistent, you know, come here each and every day, willing to work and putting in the work, and it's paying off for me.
Eric Bieniemy always talk about the coach to back us to be starters. What advice, if any, have you given you with
your
opportunity? Andy? No,
Eric Bieniemy. Oh, Eric Bieniemy. Yeah, just like I said, just keep being consistent, you know, just keep doing what I'm doing, and just when I get that opportunity, just seize the moment.
Any preparation have to change when you expect to get the ball more?
No preparation change at all. Because, you know, Greg Lewis, he coaches all the running backs to, you know, because we never know when we could be a starter. Just like just now, you know, he prepared each and every one to be a starter, even if you're on practice squad, because you never know what could happen. Anything could happen in this football.
What are some of the things you've been able to take away from G. Lou with him now coaching the running backs?
Like I said, just learning all like technical routes and just learning from him, you know, it's helping my game in a receiving area, and you know, I just got to build for that and implement that in my game and get better from it.
Have you had a chance to be in touch with Clyde, or has he reached out to you?
Yeah, I talk to Clyde every day. My guy, he's doing good. He's getting better, and you know, prayers up for my guy.
You guys have obviously a really good relationship. Does it mean a lot to you to have his encouragement?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Daryl, you've got a lot of experience in this league over the last several years. Where do you feel like you've gotten better over the years?
Like I said, just being consistent and, you know, finding holes and just hitting it and accelerating through and, you know, not shying away from nothing and just leaving everything on the field.
You know, as far as this team goes, I mean, you're the guy who's been here the longest in that running back group. You know, how important is that role for you? I mean, what have you been telling the other guys as far as helping them along in Casey?
Oh, you know, pretty much just, you know, if a guy have a question or anything, you know, I'm there and, you know, willing to help them with whatever they need. And I'm pretty much, I'm like the coach in the room. So, you know, if they got a question, they willing to ask because they know I got the answer for it.
What do you think worked well for you against the Eagles? Because everybody knows Clyde had a big day that day, but you actually provided that 2-1 push I think the team was hoping for. What worked for you against the Eagles?
You know, just seeing the holes and hitting it, and like I said, not leaving nothing back and leaving everything on the field. And, you know, just trusting myself, trusting the guys in front of me. You know, the line did a good job. Wide receivers did a good job. And just trusting the process and just –
Daryl, is there a part of your game that you feel is a particular strength, whether it's short yardage, third down, whatever it might be?
Personally, I feel like I could do anything. Short yardage, you know, catching out the backfield, whatever. I think, you know, I'm all around back.
Daryl, understanding that this is business as usual for you, you're going to keep an even head. How excited is, like, your family and friends for what should be this opportunity over at least the next 3 weeks to be the lead guy here?
Yeah, very, very, very excited. You know, this is going to be my first time really starting in the league for real. And, you know, just with this opportunity, I just got to make the most of it. And, you know, just it's something big for my mom, my dad, because, you know, the day I, you know, for the drafting thing, I didn't get drafted. And just the look in my parents' eyes watching my mom cry, you know, that meant something special to me because it's like – and I never seen my mama cry, and then just having that moment and not getting drafted, and she really was crying, you know, I kind of took that to heart, and, you know, now I get this opportunity, I just got to make the most of it just for her.
Did you still know in that moment that you still wanted to do this, you were still going to pursue this, like you had no doubts or reservations?
No doubt at all, never had one doubt in my mind.
Is that what pushed you as far as seeing your mom in that position and not being drafted?
I mean, yeah, most of it, but, you know, I still wanted to play in the league, that's always been my goal, and that just was an extra push to help me get to where I want to go.
Will they be in D.C. for the game?
No, they won't. They won't.
Daryl, what would you say has been your best game in your career?
My best game? It's a good question because every game, like, I played a lot, and I didn't really have some good games, so I don't know which one really my
You're
best,
still
but
looking for it?
Yeah, I'm still. I don't really.
What about that game before a couple years ago?
As I said, that was a good game. When we played the Bills, when we played the Browns, I mean, I had a couple of good games, so I can't really pinpoint one game.
Okay, thanks, Daryl.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank y'all.
Seemed like you had your best outing on Sunday individually. How much did the hit bother you early in the season, and do you feel like you're past that now?
It was bothering me. I would say it was bothering me a lot in the beginning of the season. But as I know myself, I just got to make sure I'm staying healthy, still working out, trying to get it nice and loose. Knowing me, I'm gonna get it right, just keep working, keep improving it, and I should be fine as the year goes by.
You've been here for a couple of years now. This has been a tough go at the beginning here. What's the mentality of the room, and what does it have to be to kind of turn things around here?
At the end of the day, we just got to do our job, and we got to do it well. There are some critiques. There are some things we got to work on, but that's why we have practice.
How tough has it been just managing, you know, with all the injuries? You know, you've been hurt, Chris, Frank. I mean, you've had a been changing lineup. How difficult has it been, you know, coming to play without really the guys that you were expected to go with back in hand?
I mean, at the end of the day, in the NFL, there's going to be some injuries here and there. There's going to be some bumps and bruises. At the end of the day, there's always the next man up mentality. So, no matter who's on that line, that whoever's on that line has to be ready to go no matter what the circumstances.
Derek, looking at the football team, like the run to football, Antonio Gibson, J.D. McKissic, your thoughts on facing these guys and stopping the run this week?
Oh, they're some speed monsters, that's for sure. At the end of the day, we gotta be disciplined, our gap, play solid technique, and we should be sound.
Whenever Spags has talked about the defense a little bit, he's mostly talked about specific execution. I mean, it's been on both sides of the ball, I guess. What does that mean for you guys to work on improving the execution on an in-game basis? What do you do during the week to hone in on stuff like that?
There's a saying, there's a quote in our D-line room. It says, practice execution becomes game reality. So when we go to practice, we got to practice while we're playing the game. It just, like you said, execution is something we need to work on. That's why we have practice. We got to keep working at it. We got to execute. We got to go balls to the wall, going 110%. We just got to keep working.
Derek, I know you guys were excited about bringing on Jaron this year. Even though the start has not gone the way maybe he would have liked, what can you and some of the other guys on the defensive line sort of tell him or encourage him, obviously in his first year with you guys?
Honestly, like I said, it's an early season. Nothing is ever perfect at the beginning. It's just all about fine-tuning. You just got to keep working. And at the end of the day, it's never going to be perfect. You just got to keep working at it, and it should turn around, you know.
Derek, Turk has kind of been on an upward trajectory. What have you seen from him as far as growth since he's been here and into this season?
Man, I like his work ethic. He's been grinding since he got here. He's a very coachable guy. He's always listening, have his ears open to whatever type of information, whether it's from the coach or whether it's any of us in the D-line. He's always welcome to try something new, try to improve any type of way.
Growing up in Virginia Beach, did you get to many Washington games, or were you much of a fan growing up?
No, crazy thing is, my mom was a Washington fan. I was a Steelers fan. Charlie Polamalu was the main reason why I started playing football.
Safe to say she's no longer a Washington fan.
Funny thing about she's kind of still is. My dad would always get on her because of how Washington's football history was in the past. This year and past a few years, they've been doing better and better. So my mom's been just talking back and forth with my dad a little bit. It's always a little funny. But, yeah, never been a Washington fan. It's never been my thing. Always Steelers.
Is this a big deal for mom? Is she going to be there for the game?
One thing about my parents, they always try to go to any game that I'm playing in. Shoot, when I was in college, they drove 12 hours, to come to Tallahassee to watch me play. And then so this, now I'm in the league, they try to come to any game that's closer to Virginia.
Cool. Okay, thanks, Derek. Thanks,
appreciate thanks, y'all.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.